Yeah, exactly.
What?
Snooze.
A zin is like a snooze?
A zin is like a snooze. I hope that's clear. We're moving on.
Dr. Snooze, the guy who's really high on nicotine.
It's like a tea bag full of tobacco. You jam it in your upper gum lip area. What's that called? The hole.
It looks like one of those silica packets, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's tobacco.
Don't
need
it.
Blue factory!
I remember Eric Adams. Who could forget?
Yeah. Is he the mayor yet? Is he just running to be the mayor?
He's been the mayor for a while.
Has he? Yeah.
Thank God someone else doesn't.
I always thought all the mental speeches he was making were part of his sort of like trying to get people to elect
mayor.
Him.
Okay, I just listened to a long podcast about Eric Adams, so you can ask me anything. Well, I didn't know about the Persian thing, but I will say...
That would be a fun podcast, someone describing a podcast they just listened
exactly
to.
That's exactly what this is. Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
he's actually
Leo,
also
this is
the
this
Shah
is.
Of Iran
so this is from last year. He says... What a crowd. And everyone says that you know how to throw a party. Last year, I was so proud to march in the Persian Day Parade, and I was the first New York City mayor to do so. And by doing so, I was acknowledged to be the Persian mayor. So I'm the first Persian mayor.
I love how he thinks that's how nationalities work.
Yeah, that's parade, immigration.
Parades, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I got my British citizenship. I did a little parade.
You marched up and down the corridor in the embassy. Yeah.
He claims he's vegan when he's not. And then, okay. so his whole...
Go on.
Can you imagine?
Haven't we all?
He just has an eating disorder, actually.
His whole approach is that he has plant-based solutions for everything. So he's like, has a plant-based solution for homelessness, and he has a plant-based solution
cigarette.
Well, just like, give the homeless cigarettes, and then they're cool.
But then basically
I get asked for cigarettes by the homeless a lot. That's definitely one of the top things.
One of the plant-based solutions they want from you.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine the top thing they want is a house, in fairness to them. But I think in terms of things they can realistically get out of me, cigarettes is pretty high up there on the list.
But you're on Zins now.
No, I'm not on Zins. Tom's
on
Zins.
I saw you on Zins.
No, I tried
What's
one of Tom's Zins.
Zin?
Zin, it was too
knowing.
Strong for you. You had to spit out the Zin.
What's a Zin? Is it like
a
jewel?
Everyone wants to know what a Zin is.
A Zin is like a dip, like the tobacco patches that you put in your lip.
Like an old-timey pirate?
Like a snooze.
Yeah. Or like a, yeah, exactly.
What?
Snooze.
A Zin is like a snooze?
A Zin is like a snooze. I hope that's clear. We're moving on.
Dr. Snooze, the guy who's really high on nicotine.
It's like a tea bag full of tobacco. You jam it in your upper gum lip area.
Okay, great.
What's that called? The fold? What's
It looks like one of those silica packets, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's tobacco.
Don't eat
them
again.
You really shouldn't eat either off of them.
Yeah.
But you couldn't handle the Zin.
Actually, it was less strong than an other Zin. My girlfriend bought me a box of Zins as a joke.
But now, hang on.
Last Christmas.
What was so fucking overwhelming about this?
Oh, man. It's like, what if you smoked a whole pack of cigarettes at once? It's it's a lot of nicotine.
Or did you get a massive buzz off it?
The worst thing about the Zins is they're not real tobacco. It's like artificial. It's kind of like, what if snus was a vape?
So what you're saying is
it's like nicotine.
Do you guys do episode titles? What if snus was a vape? Surely.
I think the title should be Zins are like snus if snus was a vape. A sentence which would not have made sense to anyone even 4 years ago.
It is to cigarettes as K2 spice is to weed, basically. It makes you mad.
Okay. K2 spice, you got to smoke it in the Himalayas, baby, to get the full effect. No, so yeah, basically it's like powdered nicotine and stuff. There's no actual. Whereas snus is like tobacco in a pouch.
Yes,
that you put in your, and so it tastes fucking horrendous. It's like the strongest chewing gum taste you've ever had, but like really like chemically. I don't know. So the worst bit is the taste, but also the room will spin if you leave it in there for too long.
This feels unnecessary.
So my
I agree.
Brother grew up in the countryside, and like you know how people in the countryside have very like interesting ways to entertain themselves. So one time he's like, "Well, we were bored," and then one of the guys who's like 17 at the time volunteered to put a whole like a whole packet of them. So like however many bits into his mouth.
No.
And then Robert, my brother, just showed me a video of a completely unconscious man.
He just took a video of an unconscious guy. You're never going to guess how we got here.
Going through a wormhole to the flavor dimension.
Uh-huh. That's fucked. It's true about the countryside. You have to find things to do or ways to escape your own brain. Just think, I'm so bored.
Yeah, I had a friend in Ohio who grew up in rural Ohio, and she said one of the things that they would do was with buttering, and there's a name for it. I think it's buttering.
I love this already.
It's when you melt the bottom of a stick of butter and stick it onto a mailbox and drive away.
Yes, because it freezes.
Yeah.
It'll stick on, and then this person's just got a sort of butter horn on their mailbox. I can immediately see the appeal of that. I'm on board with this. I like this.
There's a lot of dairy in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's true.
They're big on that.
So rich. Such a rich land. Yeah, Even the butter is merely a prank device.
Imagine how owned you'd feel if you had a mailbox covered in butter. You'd be like, oh, God damn it, they got me.
Yeah.
Been buttered.
Not butter. This is the worst day of my life.
The Lurpak boys.
That's such a violent reaction. I think I would just be like, oh, that's it. That's the whole.
You'd have to wait till spring.
Yeah, you'd have to wait till spring.
What if it's salted butter, then deer are going to come and lick it.
Yeah.
Every morning, coming out with a knife and just taking a little bit off for your toast.
Yeah. As you come out with your toast to collect your mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little wipe.
What you're describing isn't actually a prank. What you're describing is a service.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You subscribe to
butter disruptors.
Yeah.
We're going to disrupt big butter.
Or just butt-ruptors.
Butt-ruptors.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's a club.
Very different app.
Butt-ruptors.
That's how it was on New Year's Eve. That was really good. It's a great night.
What the amount of violence implied in that name is truly appalling.
You go in 2023, out 2024.
Yeah.
Huh? You fuck someone at the stroke of midnight. Sorry. That's what butt-ruptors
are. This has just made me think of a story told to me by a friend of the show who I won't name on camera, but who said that when he was a kid, he had a slightly older brother. So his brother was probably like a young teenager and he was like maybe like 12. And his brother had downloaded, like, this is like early internet, downloaded like some weird porn.
Yeah.
And they were watching it together.
The BitTorrent lottery.
They were just, hey.
You know,
bro?
When you're at that age of being a teenage boy where watching porn isn't sexual, it's like a kind of like gross out, like...
It's like Jackass.
The forbidden thing. We're going to watch forbidden thing.
Look what they're up to.
Like, it could be porn, it could be a beheading video. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Uh-huh. So it's on LiveLeak, you're watching it.
And also because of torrenting and stuff, you go, it says it's a video about this, but... Yeah. Let's find out.
Who knows? Yeah. We were actually looking for David Dimbleby. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was in the video.
David Dimbleby, assholegaping.exe.
Exactly.
Who's David Dimbleby?
The question time guy.
.exe is a great
man
with
the jar.
Right. Yeah.
What if he were a vape? Yeah.
If you were a vape, then that's news.
So basically they're watching this porn, and the porn consists in this woman is having milk from the fridge poured into her ass with a funnel.
Yes.
I'm following.
And she's going like, oh yeah, pour that milk into my ass.
Butt-ruptors.
The story's much funnier when you know where it's going. Okay, so then their dad walks into the room, and their dad is like a very stern...
So not in the video. No. I was going to say, how did you know? There's a lot of expositionary dialogue.
Real father? Okay. What are you doing in here?
Father, no, it's milk time. You mustn't interrupt my milk. Okay, so
stuck butter to the mailbox again.
Oh no! The dairy boys got my daughter with this prank? Question mark. So, okay, IRL
dad walks in, uh-huh. Very stern military man, and the older brother like panics, and all he has time to do is turn the monitor off, but he hasn't turned off the computer, so the audio is still playing. And then his dad just hears, yeah, pour that milk into my ass, and then just, oh, it's so cold. and then just goes, what are you boys doing in here? And then just walks out again.
I'll never understand this Linkin Park music.
Not my own tale, but a great tale nonetheless.
Uh-huh. Butt ruptors.
Uh-huh. It's so cold.
Yeah. That's what you wouldn't think of when having milk poured into your ass. But
you want it to be room temperature.
Surely room temp the milk first. That's crazy they're doing to that lady.
Turn the milk warmer on set.
Tells you about the level of turnaround these porn studios have to work with. Well, obviously, if we had time, we'd room temp. We'd leave the milk out of it, but. Yeah.
Put it through the baby milk warmer thing, like the Tommy Tippy.
Do you think that they what?
Testing it on your wrist before putting it.
Full fat milk, 1%. What do you think they went with?
I don't know. I don't know what would be.
Well, skim's probably cheaper, isn't it?
Plant based.
I don't know.
Oat.
Well, skims they just have to process it more.
Yeah.
So you'd think logically, full fat would be cheaper.
It is the logical milk to pour into your ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely weren't using Channel Island.
Let's be rational about this.
No, they weren't using Gold Top.
Do you think you absorb any of the nutrition of the milk through your bum?
Well, you must do, right?
Because you can absorb water through your ass. Thank you, Babe Rose.
Or vodka-soaked tampon.
Yeah, you can absorb lots of stuff through your ass.
Yeah. And that's what we're here today to teach people.
You actually lactose intolerance.
Here at Butt Ruptors, we think people aren't making enough of the other mouth. What we like to call the other mouth.
It's gonna get a little Steve Jobs turtleneck on.
For too long, mouth has tyrannical grip.
Cooking today.
A way of eating. A lot of foods are perfect for the other mouth.
It has a very, like, Russian medicine vibe. Like, you've got a cold and then someone's aunt is like, you must put milk in your ass. It's traditional. The Soviet scientists learned this.
But the amount of times my mom has pissed on me.
What? Okay, what is... What?
First she's skiing into you, now she's pissing on
video.
You.
No, yeah. You have like a jellyfish.
It's so warm.
Why didn't you room temp the piss?
Semi skim piss. I
clever, rational.
Yeah.
Do you get jellyfished?
Sorry.
Yeah. When you get jellyfish, you get pissed on. But then also, it's just a remedy for everything. If you get what's it called, nettle burn.
Oh, it's nettle stings,
yeah.
Nettle,
stings, yeah. You piss on that.
I was told.
You can piss on that.
Dock leaves.
Dock leaves, yeah.
Dock leaves.
Yeah, but you were from a less kinky family.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, you got to find the leaf, whereas you always had piss.
You know, some of us growing up had to figure out kink from nothing, where some of us, our parents were there to tell us all the tricks, all the piss, milk and ass, you know.
If you're going from nothing, you know, you have to, like, invest in buying your own bindings and handcuffs and stuff, but you know, you can save thousands if you just use family handcuffs.
God.
It's why there are so many Austrians in kink, you know.
Yeah, it's a really Nepo-based industry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's always, you know, someone's stepfather got them the job.
That would be a really funny conversation to overhear at like a dungeon. Like, well, I'm sorry if I couldn't bring my dad's whip to the... Like, getting really, like, sensitive about the quality of your gear.
I grew up in a house with a combination washer-dryer. We had to make do. It was unclear which of the two he was supposed to be stuck in.
To the manor born, just a very specific part of the manor underneath.
To the dungeon born.
To the armory born.
Born with a silver clasp on my tongue.
Born with a silver plug cage in my ass.
Silver plug in my ass. That's the founder of Butt Ruptors' main criticism.
Yeah, well, what is that? He came from money.
Yeah.
He was like, you say you started Butt Ruptors in your garage, but actually your parents gave you a small $250,000 loan.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by, like, when they, you know, sometimes there'll be like a really bougie sex toy that they're trying to sell, and it'll be like, oh, it's like a 24-karat gold butt plug or whatever.
Yeah, I'm a total sucker for that stuff.
It's like, sir, it's going in an ass.
It's rosewood, this. Yeah.
No, honestly, I'm...
porous.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the most expensive sex toy you've bought?
I don't want to talk about it.
Riley!
This is Riley, who did once Google best condom and buy the top result.
What is the best condom?
In what sense?
It involves hexagons. Well, it's a.
Can't keep saying that.
Yeah. First, Vin is snooze.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're into hexagons.
Yeah.
Is it like the sort of latex, the weaving of the latex?
Yeah, yeah. It's made of sort of interlocking hexagons of latex.
Yeah. It looks like the Eden Project.
Yeah. Why is it the best?
Yeah. What makes is it thicker?
I don't know. I never got it. It arrived and it was taken from my porch.
Oh, I thought you were like, I don't deserve this.
Someone stole that.
Oh. Yeah.
I
ordered
it.
Very horny postman.
And it was delivered. A safe horny postman. It was. Oh, I ordered it and it was delivered. And it came to my front door. And then I got the text message from, like, you know, Yodel. It's like, hey, your condoms are here, sir. And then I came.
Yodel has delivered them because they clearly opened it.
Yeah.
Yodel delivered your hexagon condoms is such a like 2024 sentence.
Yeah, it's also such a badly written sentence. Yeah. Like, oh, it's the future, is it? Well, condoms are hexagons now.
Yodel delivered your hexagon condoms, wrote David Foster Wallace.
That's right.
Yeah, so,
Black
and then,
Mirror.
they were stolen off of my front door, so I never got to use them.
Do you think when the thief opened the hexagon condom box, it was like in Pulp Fiction, just like a golden glow? They immediately knew what they had.
He came instantly. That's how good they are. It's crazy.
It's a condom that you look at and you blast.
You never see anything.
That's how it keeps you safe.
Yeah.
The kinky family on Christmas Day, and they're like, I'm sorry, children, we'll have to raw dog today again. The hexagonal condom thief is striking.
He's ruined Christmas.
No one's chastity cage will be unlocked again. Maybe next year.
Please, Mr. Scrooge, if you could just the day off for an orgy, if you could. No.
Even an hand job, sir, would make the world a difference.
He's visited by Mr. Marley, who's still wearing chains.
Yes, yeah, so. Nothing else. Yeah.
He's in a gimp suit.
I'm trapped in the gimp suit I forged in life, Ebenezer. All of my misdeeds added another zip to my horrible little costume.
There are so many padlocks on my penis cane.
The readily available list of S&M paraphernalia that needs to be on the top of your brain in order to riff this hard.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
It's internet brain.
Mm. Yeah.
Average person has the knowledge of a 1950s serial killer now, I think. You'd have to be such a degenerate freak to have even seen 10% of what the internet has on the very surface.
Yeah.
While you're talking about zippers and stuff, I'm still in my head working on a hypothetical riff where I'm having so much spicy food that I pour milk in my head.
We're going back.
That's good. I'm glad you were working on it.
It took a while, but here we are.
I tried to do a bit once that was too disgusting to work, where I said, have you ever had hangover farts so bad you've considered using a Glade plug-in as a butt plug? Just in an attempt to filter how awful they are. And the audience, if they understood what I meant, were just upset. Uh-huh. I never thought
what
it was
about,
funny.
Like, you know, comedy club people seem like they'd like that.
No, it's
what
too elaborate.
A full diaper mask.
It's too elaborate.
Your Glade hangover fart butt plug joke.
It's too delicate. A filigree.
It's too visceral.
This Lord Fauntleroy owns a Glade plug-in. Coming up here to generic town, it knows.
What are you
talking
about?
We were lucky if we had a fisherman's friend to pop up there.
It burned, but it did do job.
No, they didn't like it. Yeah, they didn't. They hated it.
Save it for a sort of cabaret night, something more, you know.
Yes.
I'm a bit more, something a little more intellectual.
Yeah.
Hangover fart Glade plug-in.
I'll save it for the drawing room. I'll save it
like
for the
humorous one-man play, perhaps.
Save it for the kind of comedy show you have to open with, my lords, ladies, and gentlemen.
A symposium.
Yeah. One of those.
Yeah.
Probably would be stuff going up your ass at a symposium, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm. You know, the other thing is, though, if you did that at a restaurant, they might give you, like, Iron, maybe? Like some of like the milk, like or mango lassi. You put mango lassi
out
there.
Oh, okay, we're back.
I thought you were just saying iron weird.
Yeah.
Me too.
The salty yogurt drink.
Yeah.
Beloved.
Beloved
of the Ottoman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that kefir.
But at a restaurant, they wouldn't pour it in your ass.
Iron is like, it's saltier than kefir.
Oh, is it real? I don't know what that is. Wait. So it is just like lassi. Plain lassi.
But it's so salty.
Really?
It's a salty kefir almost.
It's like salty milk. If you made ice cream out of it, you could sell it at a natural wine bar.
There used to be like a
now I get it,
like a kind of like Dagestani or maybe like Chechen kebab place next to where I used to go to the gym in Moscow, and I used to quite often get like a chicken shish or whatever after the gym. And I went there one day, and like, I'd kind of got to know them. They were nice people. We'd chat, whatever. And then one day, she just presented me with this like yogurt drink thing, and I was like, oh, I didn't order that. And she was like, no, it's a gift. And then I drank it, and I was like, oh, fuck. But she's like, yeah, that's right. But she's like looking at me as I have to like drink this salty yogurt and be like, just what the doctor ordered.
Thank you.
I don't want to offend this nice woman, but why have you given me this punishing beverage?
I love UFC now. It's working.
Oh, man, the amount of guys from the Caucasus you would see in Moscow wearing the UFC snapback, but also jeans and loafers with no socks.
Yeah,
it's a guy who's like 5'5", jeans, loafers, no socks, UFC hat, usually a long sleeve sweater, but tight fitting, no shirt underneath.
It's a complex vibe.
Yeah. That's my hexagonal condom. And then if I saw that, I'd come instantly. That's so sexual. Yeah.
And he drives a Hyundai Solaris.
I'm going to not name names, but I will say that one of my favorite critiques that Milo has ever had for one of my ex-boyfriends is the fact that he was wearing a sweater without a tank top underneath. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, no, that was fucked up. It wasn't
a sweater without a tank top.
He was wearing like a loose fit V-neck sweater.
like a jumper thing.
Nothing underneath.
You could see the nipples.
And he was wearing kind of baggy, sort of vaguely formal trousers, but that looked in bad shape, and trainers at a wedding where everyone else was wearing suit, cocktail dress.
Wow.
Wait, and so could you see a V of chest hair?
He wasn't a hairy man. This is an Olga boyfriend we're talking about.
This
man looked 9 years old. Let's be clear.
I'm asking the question. An idiotic.
I want to know which one it is, and that didn't narrow it down at all.
One of Olga's many projects. Can I make a man of this boy?
And the answer is always no.
But that is a very... that's a big move.
It's so sensory to look at someone wearing something knitted right against the bare nipple. It's just...
I used to do that quite a bit.
Oh.
Sorry, everybody.
But why is nipping today?
You are nipping today.
No, I don't wear a V-neck. I like a crew neck sweater.
That's less of a...
the V-neck is too Australian.
Neckline is so crazy.
On a jumper.
Yeah. On a jumper.
A shirtless man's
showing
jumper.
Showing cleave on a jumper.
Showing a nice little patch of hair. Perfect. Whoa. No, I never did that. No, sometimes I would just be like, I'd wake up and I always get too warm. And so I didn't want to wear the extra layer. I realized I should have just worn a t-shirt and a jacket now.
Yes.
Probably.
Hindsight's 2020. Yeah.
If only that technology had existed at the time. It's the jumper for blind people. For too long.
Oh, my. No, I have a... I've looked at local news again.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All
right. Mm-hmm.
This is from the Stevenage Comet.
Okay.
And there's been
nice.
A bit of a stir in Stevenage because the rector has told children that Santa isn't real in quote unquote truth sermon.
sermon sounds like one of those blogs that believes that, Jews run the world or whatever. Like that.
Okay. Do we have a direct quote from the sermon?
Yes.
How was the news broken?
So it says more than 200 year 7 pupils at Stevenage's Barclay Academy attended a carol concert at St. Nicholas Church hosted by the rector, Reverend Edward Keane.
How old are people in year 7?
Like 12.
Okay, you'd know by
10,
then.
10 or 11.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe
11?
No, 11. Minimum 11. 11.
Minimum 11.
Start 11, 11, turn 12.
Eerily 12.
Yeah.
Eerily 12.
Yeah.
This child was eerily 12.
12 at the start of year 11, you go, well, what's the story here? What's happening here? Have you moved from somewhere? Yeah.
Well, what are you, like a September 1st birthday? What's going on?
September 1st birthday.
Oh, I thought you were an August birthday.
Well, wait,
you're almost.
You're a September 1st birthday. What's the first line of your address?
Yeah, which year?
Yeah. Last 4 digits of your phone number?
And before your mother was married, she would have been Mrs. What?
Before she was married, she would have been Mrs.?
Second marriage.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, what was her previous married name? In a much more niche. Yeah, in a near reality where everyone's been divorced lots of times, it was like, what was your mother's second married name?
So one angry parent explained he decided the whole of year 7 needed to know Santa isn't real as they are entering the real world. Each to their own beliefs, but don't ruin the small bit of magic still left in the world for those who do believe.
There's no magic left in Stevenage.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's a bit rich for a rector, a religious man, to be like, that's true, it's true, it's truth time.
Ed Buttfuckers? What's it called? No, not
excuse me.
Raptors. I'm the rector of
Butt.
I'm the rector of Butt-Raptors. All the titles are something to do with butts.
They made the C of E too inclusive.
Yeah.
they pushed it too far. Even the LGBT community are like, nah, let's roll this back a bit.
You have rectors now?
There's the rector, there's the rear admiral.
Yeah.
Are there any other butt-based titles that we can think of?
We'll think of them throughout the episode.
We will.
I'm sure.
Analyst?
Yes, analyst.
It wasn't
right. We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to that. There's something in that though. Cum pig. There's something in that.
There's something in cum pig. I think it's I think it's cum.
Something about the Arsenal, about the chief of the Arsenal. Yeah.
That only works in a British accent though. Arsenal, if I say it, it doesn't make any sense.
It sounded the same, actually. You repeated after me, and it
doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay. What is he saying?
He's saying it's like the, a foreign it's in language. North America, it's the arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense in my accent. Well, no, it gives sense.
No, because
but not what you're intending.
No, but no, the Americans still say arsenal. They don't say arsenal.
They say the arsenal.
The arsenal.
Yeah.
It gives sense, but doesn't receive
from Boston,
sense
yes.
in the arsenal.
I gotta go down to the arsenal, get some guns. Come, pig.
I think this is a
porn
very...
version of babe.
Oh, God.
This is a
come
very,
for me, pig.
This is a very Dawkins move by a member of the church. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, so in response to parents' complaints, Reverend Keane pointed out that the concert was free of charge.
Wow.
Get what you pay for.
Very, that's not what I asked. Sort of.
Yeah.
And why the fuck did you do that? Well, it was free. Sorry, what?
You couldn't be religious in Stevenage. It would be. I've been to Stevenage, and it is hell. Mm. Although, if hell exists, you're in it in Stevenage.
Although the Wine Society is based in Stevenage.
Oh, yeah. Riley.
Is it?
It's yeah. true.
That also seems like a perverse location for that. And also, why do you know this, Pierre? This feels off-brand.
I know my friend Freddie works for the Wine Society, so he has to be in Stevenage a lot. Mm. He may even live there.
Oh, dear.
What happened? What does the Wine Society do?
The Wine Society...
And what, Stevenage?
Yeah. Well, they try and suppress knowledge of Father Christmas, mostly.
Yes, yeah. That's why the town was founded.
Father Christmas is real, but he only distributes wine to members of the Wine Society.
Yeah.
But
very quickly.
So the Wine Society was a cooperative started in 1874.
Shattered bottles landing in your fireplace. He's been again. For fuck's sake, put them in bubble wrap or something, you mad bastard.
He's been.
Slurping out of the grate with a straw.
Like, oh, this would have been such a this would have been such a lovely, like, like Northern Rhone Syrah, if not for the glass in it. So basically, it's a co-op that was started by some drunk rich guys in 1874 to import port by the barrel.
They're rich guys in 1874. You didn't need to add drunk. Yeah. We're presuming that's priced in.
And so now...
They're like legitimizing their own drinking problem by saying that it's a society.
Which is exactly what I do when I talk about tasting notes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that now they've just gone on as a cooperative. So you pay £40 for a lifetime membership, and then you just own a share of the Wine Society, and you can just buy wine through them, which is where I buy most of my
cheaper?
Wine. It is also
wholesale prices.
It's wholesale, and they have storage. So this isn't funny. This is just what I do.
This is great. That sounds amazing.
I just buy wine before it's released.
This
and
is
then it Spawn gets...
God. We're doing a read.
The Wine Society. It's a collab.
Yeah.
But
we're doing the wine.
Other mouth has
Just shove the bottle up your ass and do a handstand.
They also sell Blue Chew as well. All the other sponsors.
There's
a lot of different tasting notes available through the other mouth.
It tastes of corn.
It tastes of whatever you ate previously.
Okay, can I share something really important to Riley?
Yes.
Leo, for context, obviously Riley's very, very passionate about wine.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is very passionate about defending the Canadian wine industry.
It's really right. good.
So in Canada, they have a microclimate? What? I don't
know. Niagara Escarpment.
There's one in southern Ontario. There is a parcel of land called the Niagara Peninsula that is between an escarpment and a lake and a river that happens to have a milder climate than everywhere around it.
You're like a wizard giving us directions.
Okay, so this is something.
Where we'll find what we see.
And so they grow grapes there, and they make wine in Canada in this tiny little patch of land in Canada. And
sure, next to escarpment.
Exactly. Thank you. And then Riley has talked about it so much that it's sort of like sunk in my head. But for some reason, I was like, this is clearly just like a Riley thing. And then a couple of days ago, I was in Toronto, Canada, And then I went to Little Canada, which is miniature Canada, and there's rooms.
Wait, hang on, there's like an area of Toronto that's like Little Canada, and it's where all the Canadians are, like the extra Canadian Canadians. Well, like, are like, poutine. Like, yeah. Hey, buddy.
It's extra racist Canadians think that in Toronto, now there's all Canadians only live in Little Canada. It's all the Danforth now.
Can I offer you a rip, bud? All my cigarettes are smoked in maple syrup. I hope you like it sweet.
They love Zin. Hockey players fucking love Zin.
Yes, so Little Canada is between Chinatown and Little Armenia.
Yeah, they go
and
to the Zin bin.
In Little Canada, which is like essentially a museum of miniatures, they have the miniature wine region.
What, like, it's represented on this little...
And that blew my fucking mind, because I wasn't lying. It's significant enough to have a whole room in Little Canada dedicated to the wine. Is this not blowing your mind the way that it blew mine?
No, because I know it's significant.
Well, they have the CN Tower, and they have Niagara Falls, and they have the wine region in miniature, tiny little grape.
I'm still hung up on Little Canada.
you gotta go down to Little Canada and talk to Pierre LaPierre. We're doing a deal with them about the smuggled maple syrup.
Hey, that's a real thing that happened.
Just cops giving up on investigations. Let it go, Jack. It's Little Canada.
That is a real thing that happened. We had a strategic maple syrup reserve to that we could release to control prices. Like OPEC has with oil.
Why don't you go and tell Johnny Sack to suck my dick? He wants to change the price, he can come down here and tell me himself, huh?
It got stolen.
The maple syrup.
The maple syrup got stolen. How did you?
There's actually a maple syrup mafia in Canada. This is like a real...
No, it's a real thing that actually
happened.
That
sounds like a Scooby-Doo ass crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like Paddington 9 or something.
Le Paddington.
Yeah. Paddington in Quebec.
Paddington starts Little Peru.
Yeah.
From the deepest, in London.
From the deepest jungles of Trois-Rivières. One of Quebec's worst places. Sorry to anyone from Trois-Rivières or Sept Îles. All bad. Did I ever talk about the terrible vacation I went on?
Tell us about the terrible vacation you went on.
Au revoir to our sponsorship deal with various French-Canadian products.
Jacques Poutine heart throwing us a letter of disgust.
So we drove up the north shore of the St. Lawrence River in Quebec, and it was sort of my dad and his two brothers and their unwilling wives, basically, and me.
We're like tied up.
We're grumbling, basically. Oh, okay. Because one thing about Quebec is the further you get into sort of rural Quebec, the more it becomes sort of like the stereotype of the American South. Like lots of sort of guys wearing overalls with one strap down and like waving a gun at you and stuff.
Yeah, wearing a barrel, stuff like that. Yeah.
It's barrel country up there.
Uh-huh. Wine barrel.
That's right.
No, there's no wine growing in northern
France.
Quebec.
maple syrup barrel.
And I was desperate to be off the holiday because we were picking up like the new dog that I was going to get because I wanted a dog for years.
You wanted a French dog.
So I was like, come on, fucking drive. And I was constantly car sick. And it was just, So just driving through, I think some of... Like, you think Stevenage is grim. You've never been to Sept Îles, a place...
That's true. Yeah. We have not been
I've never been to Stevenage. Yeah. So I can only imagine.
But weirdly, there is a branch of the Wine Society there.
That's where you get the barrels to wear.
Yeah.
You think barrels grow on trees, boy?
Yeah. Well, no, it's wineries in Spain will use new American oak, but if you want to add a flavor of, like... Northern
this
Quebec
is very funny
farmer.
For people who know what wine. We've
actually conditioned the barrel by having a guy from Sept Îles wear it for a time.
It would be quite nice to wear a wine barrel if you had to wear a barrel. You get a nice smell all day.
If it's a slim as well, a slim fit.
Like a slim, kind of a sexy barrel.
Please get a bigger wine barrel. I can see everything.
A wine barrel that finishes mid-thigh.
A Winnie the Pooh style wine barrel.
Yeah. Or it's just so tight somehow that you're like, your barrel's got a dick outline. How tight is this barrel? What an amazing cooper you got this barrel from.
You've got a moose knuckle in this wine barrel.
You're wearing like a gray ash wine barrel to the strip club.
Yeah. Sexy.
Terrible.
Yes. Putting out a little cork so you can.
In the 1960s, they actually.
LBB, a little black barrel.
Yeah.
It's a classic dress, isn't it? The little black barrel.
In my day, we didn't have a dress, we had to wear a barrel.
Anyway.
Yeah.
In response to
you
Pro's
alarm, no matter how drunk you were.
Yeah. Or you could just squat, like, and you'd disappear. Yeah. You'd hide from the police.
Sometimes the local barrel. Ruffians would jump on top of you and run. It were mad.
Only the only thing you had to worry about was Donkey Kong. If he got an oldie, he were in a lot of trouble.
He was a bloody terror.
A bully.
Is there letter alone? She's just rolling on.
Someone refusing to engage with Donkey Kong because he said bully. You're a fucking bully.
No one could reason with that, eh?
Somebody who grew up with him.
No.
Were they like the tell all about Donkey Kong? Yeah.
He were beyond it. He were like Joey Barton. You couldn't tell him nothing.
He does seem unreasonable.
What, the Donkey Kong Donkey... seems like an unreasonable guy?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I haven't heard his side of the story.
And why is his first name Donkey? Yeah. He's an ape. Is there some kind of ironic, like a mafia nickname?
He's got a big dick, I guess.
Yeah, huge.
Like, well, he wears that long red tie like Donald Trump. It's just hiding his
Nintendo's
his genitals.
Huge dick ape. Japanese guys in a meeting like, I know what the children will love. This ape with a huge dick. And they're like, okay, well, let's blur that out.
Are you
right
about
ahead.
Godzilla?
Yeah, the tie was added in post. There's a cheat code that takes the tie off and you can see the full...
Yeah, yeah, full the con. Full dong.
Yeah. Oh, they're absolutely...
Yeah, I saw that video with my brother when I was a teenager.
Sure. pouring milk into Donkey Kong's ass.
Oh, yeah. Man.
There is absolutely someone who's drawn Donkey Kong with a huge dick and then masturbated to that drawing. That is a guy.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason to learn how to draw.
I love And He's Here Tonight.
I think it's the whole time.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite little lines.
Yeah. You can say And He's Here Tonight just like in company.
It's great.
Yeah. Well,
I like that, but you're doing like an Inspector Calls thing and it's one of us, but we don't know which one.
Yeah. We have to vote on who we think's done that drawing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it's Milo.
It was society that did the drawing. Did we not all contribute to the Donkey Kong penis drawing?
It was
what, like consequences.
Yeah. Or like Murder on the Orient Express. Everyone drew one line. Yeah. 12 people drew this horrible thing. So that no one would be responsible.
No, it's like a firing squad where only one person draws the dick, but you don't know if you drew
if you
the dick.
You did it somehow, yeah, no? That's true.
Murder on the Orient Express is such an insane book because it's like, well, you never saw that coming. It's like, no, because it's deranged. they can't convict 12 people of the same crime. Yes, they can.
It's a very Arrested Development. The twist is like, you haven't seen it coming because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I bet you couldn't guess my stupid book.
There is stupid. No, the whole time.
It was aliens that did it. Got you.
Yeah. Real anti-mystery caucus here.
Yeah.
Give me a plausible mystery.
Uh-huh. What, one where it's just sensible, where it's, it's the person, it was the boyfriend. Of course it was the boyfriend.
Yeah, say that on page one and then describe in detail how they did it with clear to follow instructions.
And how to get away with it, of course.
We're just like a crime detective show, but where it's just like what the police actually do. So it's just like, oh, TV's been nicked. It was probably Heroin Dave. Like, it was Heroin Dave again.
Dum, dum. Yeah. That's what all those crime network shows are, because they run out of the insane murders of the series one. And then it's just, and this lunatic who'd been in jail repeatedly for starting fights and shooting his gun at people got a new wife out of nowhere and immediately took out a $10 trillion life insurance policy. And wouldn't you know it, someone murdered his wife the next day, ink still wet on the fucking insurance form.
Plot twist, it was an alien.
It was 12 people on a train, yeah.
One of my favorite sort of shows to watch just for oddness is the like police procedurals that are so successful they cannot be canceled, but have run out of ideas after season one.
Like
Law & Order SVU?
Yeah, like that's a perfect example.
CSI had a furries episode. Yeah.
What? Jesus.
Someone shot a furry.
Who drew this picture of Donkey Kong? No one leaves.
Was it the Duchess?
The butler certainly has inky fingers. Yeah.
Why, that I see that butler's cum in his pants.
Oh, I'm dreadfully sorry, sir. I just wanted to see what kind of hog the ape had.
But I didn't draw the beast.
I was simply looking. I
only erased the tie. No, I was masturbating to this red herring with a huge vagina that I've drawn.
But I think...
No, balls deep in Chekhov's gun. Sorry.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. To the barrel
bum.
Of it.
Yeah. Chekhov's bum.
That's just Chekhov's bum. He'll show us his bum later.
Yeah.
But now that he's mentioned his bum, it's going to have to come up.
When Chekhov is standing
Chekhov's,
in...
It's Chekhov's bum. How quickly do you think someone would correct you if you used that wrongly? Well, we all knew that was going to... You're talking about a movie you've watched, you go, wow, Chekhov's bum. And say it quickly enough that they're not sure.
Anton, how are your gemoroid there? They are troubling me somewhat, I must say.
But enough of this.
Three. Oh, boy.
They try and cover it and they move it on. But enough of this. We're having someone to stay.
Andrew Scott as Chekhov's bum. In the play The Daily Telegraph are calling Setting Fire to the West End.
CSI had an episode
pouring
where...
milk down Chekhov's bum.
My ass is burning. It must be all of those cherries.
Yes. Yeah. God, it would. CSI had an episode where someone shot a guy in a wolf suit.
They thought it was a furry.
Yeah.
What did that add or take away from the crime?
I think the excuse was that they thought it was a sort of insanely large coyote. It was at night.
But that's sort of...
rifling through that bin.
Because he was on the side of the highway or something.
Stop!
There was some confusion element to it.
Uh-huh. They thought killing a furry was roadkill.
Yeah. Well, that's because these shows really, they exist to explain... They go through several phases. There's the normal murders phase where it's plausibly a show that makes sense. Then there is the... sort of outlandish, bizarre nonsense phase where they just come up with stuff. And then there's the giving up and ripping stuff from the headlines phase.
Yeah.
Right. And so giving up and ripping stuff from the headlines phase, that's like, well, they're making a new Grand Theft Auto game. So I suppose we're going to sort of see, oh, perhaps the murder was inspired by that. But really what they're doing is it's hiring Richard Belzer to explain NIST to explain Grand Theft Auto to 90-year-olds.
Yes, yeah.
Well,
basically.
Oh, interesting.
But my favorite one isn't Law and Order SVU. My favorite one, as any fan of TF will know, the podcast that I do with Milo, is Bones. I fucking
you
love Bones.
You do love Bones.
I love
What's
Bones.
What's the premise of Bones?
Thank you so much for asking.
He paid me 30 quid to ask him.
An undiagnosed autist who's obsessed with bones solves crimes with a sort of ex-quarterback who's now an FBI agent.
Yeah.
And her name's Dr. Bones.
Her name is Dr. Bones.
Is that the one
Dr.
with Zoe Deschanel's sister in it?
Yes. Yes, Emily Deschanel. Based on a real person.
She loves
Zoe Deschanel.
Based on Emily Deschanel.
No, so it contains... So in one episode in season 5, they're hired by the CIA... to redo the autopsy, the ballistics on Kennedy.
Okay, that's sick. That is sick.
But the conflict of the show is that Booth, the Seeley Booth, played by David Boreanaz.
John Wilkes?
He's John Wilkes Booth's descendant.
No.
That's one of the plot points.
Hell yeah.
Is that he's like, well, I'm related to a president killer, so I'd rather solve this mystery. Oh. Yeah, because if it runs long enough.
My father owned a book depository.
you have to make an hour of TV to entertain elderly shut-ins every week. And so just more stuff keeps getting folded into it. It's an expanding cosmology. It's like Marvel, but for people in their 80s.
The most unrealistic bit of that is the CIA not knowing who killed JFK, being like, well, somebody's got to look into this.
No, they're being coy.
Who did it?
Who do you think drew this amazing picture of Donkey Kong? What do you think of it? I like it. But what do you think?
Not the content, just on an artistic level.
No. I mean the shading, the cross-hatching.
Can I tell
Are you
a
getting
secret?
A wreck?
Yeah.
We drew the picture of Donkey Kong, but we told people it was Malcolm X. We told them it was Castro.
That's the thing. Lee Harvey Oswald had shaky hands. He never could have drawn a dick that straight.
Yeah. And Jack Ruby
the
shot
US
him.
The US government would have you believe that this monstrously hung ape was drawn by Lee Harvey Oswald, a man with no kind of artistic training whatsoever.
I put it to you that David Ferry and this here Clay Shaw drew the ape in one of the homosexual orgies.
That's more or less the plot of the movie JFK by Oliver Stone. It's great.
Very
yeah,
great
movie.
He replaced
the word ape with the president.
Yeah. Yeah, he drew the hung president.
That's right.
Difficult to, at least with CSI as a crime thing that can repeat, all big murders have to involve some CSI of some kind, right? Mm. Very challenging to say to yourself, no, only bones crimes. Only crimes where bones are important.
Yeah, and to put it right there in the heading.
The title. So he got shot and he died because the bullet went through his neck and he bled out. You go, right, did the bullet hit any bones? Would you say bones were involved?
But there's in this episode, there's
was
like...
Was the bullet made of bone, perhaps?
In this episode, there's some subterfuge.
Ooh.
Because, like, they're trying to maintain Booth's faith in the U.S. government that they wouldn't do anything bad.
Well, I fucking goodbye Lenin.
Yeah,
for the American version.
And
okay.
So they put a watermelon on, like, a wheelchair so that Booth can recreate the Kennedy shot with, quote, the most hated weapon in America. That's what they call the Carcano rifle. The most hated weapon in America.
Yeah. What is, like, CBT for Booth? Like, what is that? It's like a therapeutic exercise.
They're trying to prove.
I was thinking of a different kind of CBT.
They're ball torture for Booth.
They're basically.
Yeah, he shoots himself in the chest.
Much like Lee Harvey Oswald actually did. He shoots himself in the balls.
It was a one in a million shot. The bullet rebounded on Kennedy's head.
Down into Dealey Plaza.
Turning into a camera in the library and saying, and this is Jackass. You shoot Kennedy in the head.
Steve-O wearing like a little model rubber Kennedy head over his penis.
The first season of Jackass, it was the same cinematographer
shooting a tiny gun. He's like poking it through the floor of like a model car.
It went through Connolly's shoulder, through JFK's hand, up and back through his neck,
and then bone in his body.
And then Wee Man is stood in the corner with another gun.
Yeah.
On the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
So they're sort of trying to prove that whether the Warren Commission was right.
Is a watermelon rind meant to be the same structural integrity as bone?
It is the same structure as Kennedy's head specifically. A rare disease.
Yeah, he did actually have a rare disease, did
what
Kennedy. I think he had spina bifida. That was King Tut. He had like a spine thing.
Hang on.
Smiled next to Tutankhamun.
Hang on. How socially close were you with Tutankhamun that you feel able to abbreviate him so whimsically?
You're thinking of Tut.
Oh, Tutty. No, that's Tutty's got that.
Big Tut.
Oh, sorry, Tutankhamun. Oh, wow, you are connected.
They buried Kennedy in the Bass Pro Shops pyramid.
Did you call him King Tut because of the Steve Martin... like SNL sketch?
No, that's just what I always knew him as.
Well, then, you know, down the local bar, he was, you know, Tutankhamun for formal
actually,
purposes.
Actually, didn't put on airs to and graces.
Funny.
Yeah. Airs and graces after he was dead, sure.
Yeah.
Alive,
remember,
casual.
It's Tudders in slut, not Tudors in boot. The first time you meet him, it's your pharaoh. After that, Tutty.
Remember, everyone, tuts and teeth. After death, good presentation, lots of gold.
They had to send him to Turkey after he died to get his veneers sorted out.
It would be horrible to see a mummy with perfect dentures in, just but all shriveled
but
around them.
Just looking like Rylan.
Yeah, bones would have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
Those aren't the right bones, she'd say. And there the mystery would begin.
Well, that's your suitcase full of piss thing, right? Where it's sort of...
Thank you so much for understanding.
Yeah.
Suitcase full of piss is something that is...
I got it.
Okay.
I got it from context.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a classic suitcase full of piss thing. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's
something
like,
that isn't illegal, but wrong.
Yeah.
Fill up a suitcase, but not necessarily wrong,
but it's weird.
It's weird, but crucially not illegal.
It's as weird and horrible as something that is a crime, but it is not a crime.
For example, a mummy with perfect teeth. Yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah.
Not illegal.
A mummy with like Tony Robbins level veneers. Giant chompers.
Yeah. Mm. Not illegal.
Yeah. Not well, kind of illegal. You're tampering with a mummy.
If you did it.
Yeah. Well, there are 12 of us all put them in separately.
If I did it, but about putting dentures in the mummy.
If I did it, brackets breaking into the British Museum and giving all the mummies better teeth.
Fucking Robert Kardashian demonstrating that the nose hook doesn't even fit into O.J. Simpson's hand. There's no way he could have extracted the brain.
But why did he have the canopic jars?
Just to be accused of embalming someone.
Dude, the CIA killed O.J. Simpson's wife is a very funny conspiracy.